Welcome to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Your host, Carl Nordgren, will teach you how to take an expansive view on what it means to be creative and entrepreneurial. Carl is an entrepreneur, novelist, and a lifelong student. For 20 years, he has been learning how to help folks grow their creative capacities. Now, here's Carl.
Good morning. Welcome. This is Carl Nordgren. You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm so glad that you are here. I'm glad that I am here. It's been 2 weeks since I've been behind the microphone. The shows of the last couple of weeks have been previous episodes, and I'm so excited to be back. I'm just so excited to be back and get going. And so I'll try to keep my enthusiasm under control, but I tell you, it's great to be back with you. And let's start there. Let's talk about you. I should be really clear with you all as to who it is I believe I'm speaking to when I prepare a show and deliver a show for this audience at 97.9 The Hill. Who I know I'm speaking to are natural-born creative geniuses, each and every one of you. Many of you have just fully embraced that with all of your enthusiasm, and you've developed these creative and these entrepreneurial and these innovative and these productive and generative qualities, and you've used them through all aspects of your life. Some of you perhaps have not. Some of you perhaps do say to yourself, I'm not creative. I wonder what Nordgren's talking about. I'm not creative. Boy, oh boy, yes, you are. NASA research shows that 98% of us are born with such remarkable creative qualities. NASA would call it creative genius. United Nations statistics show that in developing nations, 75% of us create our own jobs. We create our own jobs. There's personal observation. If you spend any time with 4 and 5 year old children, you know that they have just unlimited imaginations and tireless curiosities. So that's who I'm speaking to. I'm speaking to natural born, creative, and entrepreneurial geniuses, and I'm proud to do it. I'm proud to be of service to you all. There's nothing more important, folks, than you embracing these wonderful creative and entrepreneurial qualities that you've got. There's nothing more important. I sometimes am so confident I'll even say there's nothing as important. Listen to this. In business today, every measure that's made by any research company, any consulting company, about what our business leaders, what skills are business leaders looking for, what qualities and employees are business leaders looking for, and creativity is number one in every instance. In every instance. And very often, the traits that come in second, third, and fourth are included in my expansive vision of what it means to be creative. So in business today, you want to have these qualities. For the future, you want to be your most creatively entrepreneurial self, don't you think? We are all together, all of us, in the early days of a future of unknowable unknowns. Thank you, Donald Rumsfeld, for that phrase, of unknowable unknowns. There's going to be continual, constant, unpredictable changes. There's going to be fierce disruptions like the one we just had, except it won't be anything at all like the one that we just had, will it? And there's going to be extraordinary opportunities, amazing opportunities in the future. And I can't imagine, can you, a better way to prepare for that future of unknowable unknowns than to approach it and meet it as your most creatively entrepreneurial self. So you need it for success in business today. You need creativity to most successfully make your way in a future of unknowable unknowns. And as important as all that is, this third point trumps them all, doesn't it? There's all kinds of research that shows, folks, that if you live a creative life, you live longer and you live more joyfully. And who can top that? What's a higher aspiration than a long, joyful life? There's two different branches to the research that reach this conclusion. One branch of research sees creativity as artistry. They recruited folks who dance and who sing and play musical instruments and paint and write poetry and write novels. Those, that sense, that, you know, sort of traditional old sense of what it meant to be creative, to be an artist. And the research into their lives found that they live longer and more joyful lives. But there's a whole nother strain of research that takes this more expansive view that we take here on this radio show that includes, of course, all that wonderful artistry, but it also includes creative qualities like being generous in your community and being curious about what's going on and being a new learner and being a traveler and being open to new experiences. When you score high in those expressions of being creative, you live a longer and more joyful life. So there's nothing more important than us embracing intentionally our creative qualities. And so what does it mean to be creative? Well, folks, I'm confident that I should not define for you what I mean by creativity, that I should not give you a definition for what it means to be creative, that I should honor Goethe's quote where he said something very much like thinking is better than knowing. And there's some topics where I want you to know. If you're going to build a bridge or if you're going to operate on me, I sure want you to know. But this creativity is most certainly a topic where you are much better served about thinking for yourself what it means to be creative rather than this old dude giving you a definition for what it means to be creative. In the mere process of you thinking about what it means to be creative, you're engaged in a creative exercise. You're learning something new. You need to construct your own understanding. I would like you to craft your own insights into the one that's most useful to you about what it means to be creative, what it means to be entrepreneurial. I use the phrase being creatively entrepreneurial for two reasons. One is to try to capture this expansive view that I have on creativity by including another dynamic, another energy set, but also because I imagine that the first time I say to somebody, you want to develop your creatively entrepreneurial qualities, you probably stop for a moment and say, I wonder why he linked those two words together. And once again, you're serving yourself by thinking about that, by wondering about that, by coming up with your own thoughts about why one might link creativity and entrepreneurship together so that you would be creatively entrepreneurial. But I do give lots of prompts in my workshops, in my creativity labs, in the consulting and coaching work that I do. I will give people prompts on what it means to be creative. And so I'll give you some prompts here to finish up this first segment of our show. I would have a sense that one of the fundamental qualities of what it means to be creative is somebody who has the predisposition to see problems as opportunities, yeah? See problems as opportunities and then acting to make things better by making better things, designing better services, developing better processes. But that seems to be really core to being creative. How about looking at what others have been looking at and seeing what nobody else has seen, which means intentionally stepping away from the status quo so that you can break the chains of the familiar and give yourself an opportunity to see something that hasn't been seen before. Take a new perspective on this thing. It's being ingenious, isn't it? Crafting from the pieces you can reach now. It's being adaptive, discovering a more generative behavior for the next time. It's developing. It's taking an idea or a concept and realizing it more fully. It's imagining and reimagining a better way, a smarter step. It's listening carefully and closely, and we're going to talk more about listening when you come on back from the break. Thank you.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
And welcome back. This is Exploring Your Creative Genius. I'm Carl Nordgren. In the first segment, we concluded with some prompts on what it means to be creative. I was telling you I'm not going to define creativity for you. Instead, I'm going to give you lots of different aspects of what it means to be creative. Let me give you a few more. I want you to build a dynamic understanding of what it means to be creative, a multifaceted understanding. I want you to include as many different wonderful creative energies as you possibly can into your understanding of being creative. As again, the introduction to the show says, take an expansive view. And so here's some other aspects of creativity, some other strategies that show up in a creative life. Certainly, you're good at collaborating, right? You got to be really good at collaborating, working with others to get the best work done. That's a wonderful creative quality. Empathizing. How important is that? Teaching, learning. I like linking these two together. Wondering while I wander. I love to wonder and I love to wander. Playing is a wonderful creative expression. A current favorite of mine, and then we'll move on, is appreciating. Appreciating. There are times where I can appreciate in a way that that thing that I am appreciating appreciates in value. There have been situations where somebody's brought a new idea, and I've listened for the best of that new idea. I've listened appreciatively to what's best about that idea. And then when I speak my appreciation about that idea, it doesn't happen each and every time, but I've been there, I've seen it, when the idea appreciates in value because of something that came out of this appreciation that I shared. Let's move on. Let's talk about the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset. Since we're all born with these remarkable creative qualities, since we're born with these remarkable creative qualities and they don't go away, the very first principle of being a creatively entrepreneurial person is to be intentional. It's to just declare that that's who I am, that that voice that is in your head that you're having your conversations with, begin to include in that narrative, in that conversation, that that's who you are at your core, that you are a creative and entrepreneurial and innovative and adaptive individual. And when you make that legitimate declaration, you win. Because as the four, I like to have fun calling them the four P professions, poets and physicists, psychologists and philosophers, they all agree from their very, very different professional perspectives that we don't see the world the way it is, we see the world the way we are. And so when we know that that's who we are, that we're a creative, an innovative, an entrepreneurial individual, you start to see the world as a creative person sees the world. Now, your view of things, your perspectives are likely going to be an incremental change initially, but notice I didn't say just incremental, because when we talked about creative qualities like seeing something that nobody else has seen, maybe just that incrementally different perspective is what it takes for you to see what nobody else has seen, to see a different solution to this problem that just won't go away, a different way to cultivate this opportunity that's presenting itself. One of the places I practice my intentionality, right? You want to make a declaration, but then you want to practice. Then you got to act on that intentionality, on that declaration. And it's I am mindful of wanting to be intentional in the language that I use. Right? I want to be intentional in the language that I use. I want to be intentional in the inches and the minutes, right? In the regular conversation, we speak roughly 16,000 words a day, you and I. What a great place for us to try to nudge a little more creative energy, try to insert a little bit more innovative life into the world through our conversation, right? A little bit more open-ended. Ask people, don't ask somebody, did you enjoy yourself at the play last night? Ask them, what did you enjoy about the play last night, right? A little bit more open-ended, a little more inviting in your conversation. There's other ways to be intentional in your language. For instance, and it's relevant to the show where we're talking about how to cultivate opportunity. When an opportunity comes along, it's a very usual thing for people to say, I wonder how I can take advantage. How I can take advantage of that opportunity. Now, to say you're going to take advantage of it, to use that language, isn't necessarily going to direct you towards taking the best for you and leaving the rest for everybody else. But speaking that language has impact on you. And so at least incrementally, it points you in that direction. I've been trying to discipline myself for a few years now that when an opportunity comes along, I try to say, I wonder how I can create advantage from that opportunity. Using that language doesn't necessarily mean, once again, that I'm going to nurture it and cultivate it and care for it and develop it and invite good people in to work on it with me. But incrementally, using that language points me in that direction. Another place that we need to be intentional is to be intentionally sensual, S-E-N-S-U-A-L, intentionally sensual. Our senses feed our subconscious. Our subconscious, I'm going to talk a little bit more about it in another show, is such an important, powerful part of our creative cognitive processes, our subconscious is. And it's always, always attending to any sense experiences that you bring to your life. And so, boy, you want to be really, really mindful about intentionally enjoying your sensual life. That's the number one principle, be intentional. I've been doing this work for 25 years. It's been the number one principle. I challenge it all the time. It keeps its place. The next two principles are both the second principle. I have one number one principle, and then the next two are both number twos. One is to take multiple creative perspectives. We just talked, you know, we've referenced that, right? We've given you a sense of why that's important. Linus Pauling, that dude who won two Nobel Prizes all by himself, one in peace, and I think the other one was in either medicine, I think it was medicine. He said, you want to have a really good idea? Have lots of ideas. So let's do a little corollary of that. You want to get a really good perspective on this challenge, a really good sense of this opportunity? You want multiple perspectives. Whenever I write the word creative perspectives, on I capitalize that final S to remind myself that even a creative person's single perspective on an opportunity isn't going to give you the full view of that you need to understand what's happening here. So that's one of the two additional principles. The other is to have a bias for action. And they're both number two, folks, because I bet you can pick up on this pretty quickly, that they dance together. These two dance together, having multiple creative perspectives and a bias for action. They dance together, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about that dance when we come back from the break.
You're listening to Exploring Your Creative Genius with Carl Nordgren. Welcome back to Exploring Your Creative Genius. Here's your host, Carl Nordgren.
Welcome back. Thanks for coming back. In the previous segment, we were talking about the three principles of a creatively entrepreneurial mindset. Principle number one is to be intentional, to declare that you're a creative person, to be intentional in the language that you use, to be intentionally sensual. There's other places, of course, to be intentional. I'm just giving you some sample. You want to find behaviors and activities that you can be intentional in your discipline of using them, applying them, because, man, that's just going to make your creative growth take off. Principle number two, and then principle number two, we have two number twos, are multiple creative perspectives and having a bias for action. Having a bias for action is so important in your creative life. You get smarter in two different ways when you have a bias for action. One is that our bodies have intelligences all throughout the body that just won't fully get engaged if we're just sitting here at our desk. You have to get up. You have to move. You have to take steps. Your two hemispheres of your brain integrate when you're reaching your natural stride. And so just by simply moving, your body is in its smarter, more productive state, more optimal state. But as you're moving, where are you moving? You're moving through the world. You're having experiences. And so you're learning something with your movement, right? You're understanding things better as you are moving. You're trying something out as you move and see that it works or doesn't. So having a bias for action, again, gets you smarter in two ways, both by engaging your full creative intelligences and by getting smarter through your experiences. And so when you move, you're getting new perspectives. To get new perspectives, you're very likely going to need to move. I'll give you a picture of it that in part that my 10-year-old granddaughter participated in when she was probably about three or four and was using an old-fashioned apple peeler for the first time. And she had her apple. She peeled it. That wonderful red ribbon came off of peel. The teacher gently pushed her aside so the next student could do his apple. Well, instead, my granddaughter wouldn't move. Instead, she leaned forward. She was arm's length before. Now she's right up at the machine, and she's touching it, and she's feeling every aspect of it, every part of it. She's moving what can be moved. She's challenging the base to see how sturdy it is. She's experiencing this thing as closely as she possibly can. Now the teacher pushes her aside again, and this time my granddaughter accepts that energy. And while the second child is peeling his apple, my granddaughter walked all the way around the table and observed what was happening from every single angle. Her multiple creative perspectives, her bias for action, dancing together. She moved to look up close. She came back to be at arm's length. She walked all the way around the table to see it in operation from every angle. Boy, if you have an opportunity to take on that sort of model of seeing something new for the first time, that's your natural creative genius, folks, that would direct you to that. Let's revisit language for a second, because this doesn't directly relate to using language intentionally, but maybe it just brings some thoughtfulness to our language. I love this. I've been reading lately about how we lose track of where language came from. You know, for centuries and centuries and centuries, we've experienced it as a constructed, you know, almost abstract code, right? But it's worthwhile to recall where it came from. And it came from nature. The words that we first used were sounds, were our attempts to capture the sounds that we were hearing. It's just so cool that the words that we were saying are trying to either capture the sounds that we're hearing or capture the world in which we're living. The Cayucan indigenous people found in roughly where the Yukon is, the Cayucan people, their word for squirrel was back of the tree. Isn't that awesome that their word for squirrel was back of the tree? Right, so they captured in the word some natural representation. And so we want our language, when we have the chance to make this happen, we want our language to be rooted in what's real and what's true. Another way that the natural world impacted our use of language, I found this chart to be so interesting. A linguist identified 17 different languages still in use, and what word they used for sea, S-E-A, or ocean, right, a large body of water, or what word they used for terra firma, for the earth. And what he discovered, this linguist did, was that in almost all the cases, almost all of these 17 languages, the words that they had for sea began with soft sounds at the beginning of the word, right? Soft sounds where you didn't have to have a hard stop. But the words for earth and for earth, they had a hard word at the, you know, a hard sound at the very beginning of them. So our language came out of nature. Get back into nature and you're going to get all kinds of benefits from it, folks. This show is over. I appreciate you listening, and I hope you all have a wonderful transition from July to August, and I'll talk to you next week.
This has been Exploring Your Creative Genius on 97.9 The Hill. You can listen to other episodes on chapelboro.com.